Hey friend, are you looking for episodes that dive deep into your Enneagram type? Or are you searching for faith-based insights that transform your life? With over 300 episodes on the Simply Wholehearted podcast, it's easy to get overwhelmed. But don't worry, friend, I've got you covered. Introducing the curated, personalized podcast playlist that is just for you based on your Enneagram type. So get your copy to help you continue your path of self-discovery and spiritual growth. You can get it at simplywholehearted.com or just click the link in the show notes to get your personalized playlist. And let's continue on this transformative journey together. Have you found yourself saying things like, "What's happening next? That sounds fun. I wonder who's going to take care of that. Can't wait till I have the freedom to do all the exciting things I dream about." Now, if these are something you would say, or they're familiar phrases that you have heard from a loved one, you might be a 7 or know an Enneagram 7. I would love to invite you to join me on a journey of self-discovery and compassion, gain insights about this personality type who's often known as the enthusiast, the entertainer, the planner, and the adventure advocate. And if you know a 7 or want others to know more about the Enneagram 7 personality type, go ahead and follow this prompting to share this podcast episode with them. Just use the platform share feature so this episode can give others an opportunity to learn more about the qualities of the Enneagram 7. Hello, and welcome to the Simply Wholehearted podcast. I'm your host, Amy Wicks, your wholehearted living coach, and I'm so glad that you stopped by to spend some time with me. Are you curious about the Enneagram? Do you want to learn biblical truths? And have you wondered if there are life rhythms that will help you thrive? Well, friend, then you are in the right place. For 6 years, this podcast has focused on sharing conversations with my friends about life, business, motherhood, faith, and all things Enneagram from a Christian perspective. I truly understand what it's like to juggle everything as a wife, mom to 3 teenagers, a pup, and all while building a growing business. And friend, I haven't always done things with clarity, peace, or joy. But still, the Lord has taken my brokenhearted pieces and healed them so I can live with wholehearted rhythms to provide women like you with a step-by-step process so you can get free of anxiety, shame, and frustrations that might be holding you back from thriving. I pray that the Lord speaks to you as you listen today and that you would invite your friends and family to join the fun conversations. Are you ready to laugh a little and learn a whole lot? Alrighty, let's get to the conversation. Now, what do you need to know about the Enneagram 7? Well, friend, we would need way more time than you are willing to give me in one sitting because the nuances of each Enneagram type are as varied as there are countries to explore. But this episode will give you some highlights to help you understand more about their perspective. As we dive in, I want you to know that if you need more Enneagram-specific insight, information, or Enneagram 7 resources, I've got you covered. Head to the show notes for recommendations and more. Today, I'm going to share the distinguishing qualities of this energetic personality, and then you'll get a firsthand account from an Enneagram 7 and her experience of the self-discovery and wholehearted process. And last but not least, listen to the end because the wise Deanna Sudum is going to finish this episode with a scripture and prayer specifically for you or your loved one. Now, what does an Enneagram 7 typically look like as a child? They are likely very active, kind of busybodies. They don't really enjoy being alone a whole lot. They're pretty good with adult interactions, and they love to talk and dream about their future freedom or what they're going to do when they grow up. Many Enneagram 7 children have blissful memories of childhood, at least until some unforeseen, painful experience occurs. Now, this may have triggered to turn their focus outward to gathering experiences, relationships, or start vices in order to avoid their pain or loss of childhood innocence. Many sevens identify with feeling frustrated over not being nurtured enough by their caretakers, subconsciously concluding that it's not okay to depend on anyone else for anything, especially any sort of help to avoid loss, grief, and even the pain of responsibility. Likely over time, the seven, with a combination of imagination and independence, energizes their focus on making happy and pleasant experiences happen. Sevens are motivated by their need to be happy, and they love to plan enjoyable activities. Of course, while contributing to the world, mostly in hopes to avoid suffering and pain for themselves and others. As a seven matures, they fear limitations, missing out on the fun, or being trapped in emotional pain. They may even feel like there is never enough time and struggle with completing tasks, because they get distracted by all the exciting things. The seven's decision-making strength associates them with what is known as the head triad. Again, those are the types of 5, 6, and 7. They first filter information through their thoughts, and then they decide how to react or what emotions are involved or what feelings are involved. A type in the head triad will be led by their automatic reaction to their emotional struggle, anxiety. And another commonality of the type 5, 6, and 7 is their desire and motivation for security. A 7's specific struggle with anxiety is related to dealing with their pain, or maybe even being aware of it. When they become aware, it likely creates a lot of unsettledness. So in an effort to avoid their fears or their anxiety, they go outside of themselves for experiences and activities that are going to take their mind off the negative things. Now, when they feel overwhelmed by their anxiousness, they will likely focus on keeping so busy and staying in constant motion, or at least a nonstop activity pack schedule. Of course, this leads to exhaustion, which creates more anxiety and potentially pushes away their close, healthy relationships. A seven's communication preference falls within the assertive stance of the Enneagram. They're future focused and tend to be thinking about what is next, what's exciting, or what stimulating experience do they get to be involved with. Of course, this can create a sense of dissatisfaction with their current situation or a propensity to not celebrate what is really valuable and good in the moment. Their tendency towards planning the next thing can cause them to not be fully present with their loved ones. Now, when understanding the seven's repression center, they typically fall into the category of feeling repression. Again, a seven is known to express their feelings, right? Or even wear their feelings on their sleeve. But the problem is a seven tends to only experience or express a half range of emotions. They may often reframe circumstances to limit their engagement with the actual or full complete emotion, specifically concerning disappointing or loss or grief. In their desire to avoid negative experiences, they may turn in the opposite direction, which causes them to deny reality. What often triggers them is when they experience limitations determined by someone else or external sources out of your control. A seven is invited to be cognizant of their tendency to believe that if they aren't entirely boundless, then they're being restricted. Now, friend, here's a little bonus growth tip. Even the seasons and the seas have boundaries, right? Evaluate how your boundaries fall in pleasant places and how you can savor your experiences just a little bit longer. And here is what I've learned. Yep, speaking from a seven perspective. There is so much about life that beautifully limits me, and I've learned to grow that it's the kindness of the Lord. In Him alone, I am boundless. But in everything else, there is a healthy boundary. There are limitations, but it's not the Lord crushing my freedom. Now, when faced with loss and grief, a seven may naturally grieve what's going to happen in the future. So in the face of loss, they may have already grieved not only this moment, but even moments in the future. They are typically ready to move on to the next thing. Of course, the grieving process is compounded by their natural desire to avoid or run away from feelings connected to pain and loss. So the seven is even less likely to spend the time they need grieving significant painful experiences, and they also may not be well attuned to others grieving, especially in a different time frame than they naturally do. I know a lot of sevens who are working on this, including me. Now, like all the other Enneagram types, you know by now, the seven's wings are on either side of its number on the diagram. So the seven wing six, while a fantastic combination, can also tend to internally have conflict because the seven is looking for positivity and freedom, but at the same time, the six is focused on establishing predictability and aligning with trusted leaders. Of course, the great news is the seven wing six, they genuinely think about what others think and desire to enjoy fun experiences with others. Now, the seven wing eight combination blends easily with each other. They're both assertive and they enjoy control over their environment or options. A seven wing eight tends to be confident and innovative, and when they're aligned, they show up with persistent energy, ready and willing to get the job done. When a seven's triggers are activated, they may self-sabotage and engage in the low side of the type one. They may become hypercritical and more perfectionistic. They might even become cynical and try to change other people, correcting them for all sorts of things or even being nitpicky. They may even blame others for preventing fun. Of course, that creates tension and frustration in any relationship. And then that will end up cutting them off from the security of lighthearted connection in their friendships. When a seven practices rhythms of resting and silence, silence helps them learn how to attune to God's voice. And it opens the door to encounter Jesus, the true enthusiast. And it is in this encounter that your brokenhearted moment can be transformed into wholehearted healing as you declare and believe these truth statements. May I acknowledge my desire for freedom and trust in a boundless God. May I receive the discernment between want and need and truly be content. May I embrace the joy of the moment, resting my mind from planning of what comes next. When you learn to rest in silence, you can have strength to face your pain and take it to the one who is waiting to heal and tend to your heart. Stop running from the things you'd rather forget. You will have what you need when you find the Lord in the silence. I love that AJ Sherrill advises Enneagram 7s to pay special attention to the season of Lent, which is observed in the liturgical church calendar. If you didn't know, this one's a biggie. It is 40 days of self-reflection, sobriety, and self-control. As a fellow seven, I wasn't surprised to read this recommendation, but are you kidding me? This is so very pointed and seems way harder than all the other advice that he gives. But beginning with Ash Wednesday, Lent reminds followers of Jesus of his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness before his public ministry commenced. Both fasting and resting in silence will help sevens acknowledge the inner deserts they may be actively avoiding and instill their dependency on God for true fulfillment. Oh man, nothing like hitting it where it really hurts. It's a good one. Now, in addition to spiritual rhythms, here are a few more practical tips. First, when engaging with others, slow down to listen fully to others. That means practicing active listening skills. Listen to hear, not to reply. Speak back what you thought you heard and be attuned to the speaker's emotions. Second, implement intervals of 100% focused work time. Yep, whatever task you face, intentionally stop the multitasking and do one thing at a time. And even if it means just keeping one browser tab open on your computer. If you're a seven, you totally know what I mean. And last, intentionally develop your emotional repertoire. I know, fancy word. Basically, take note of your range of emotions throughout the day. How often do you experience being mad, sad, glad, or afraid? Do you try to reframe your emotions when you feel something other than happy or glad? And are you willing to sit with the negative emotions and acknowledge it before the Lord? Now, would you like to meet an Enneagram 7? Well, you have gotten to hear her voice on the podcast before, and you're going to get to hear it a lot more in the coming months here on the podcast. I'm so excited to once again introduce you to Janae Lanier. She is one of the wholehearted coaches on the collective, and she has such depth of wisdom, but also that boundless joy that we all appreciate from sevens. Now, as one seven to another, I'll just remind you that us sevens don't always take ourselves as fun bringers or see ourselves as fun bringers. We tend to compare and think, oh no, that seven is way more fun, or that person is just way more fun. But let me tell you, Janae has so much goodness to share with you in the couple months. And for now, I'm just excited for you to get to hear her wholehearted journey for yourself.
Hey there, my name is Janae Lanier. I am a mother to sweet little Sage. She's almost 4 years old now. I'm a wife to my sweet husband who is an Enneagram 2. His name is John. I'm an Enneagram 7, and I live in Eastern NC, where I feel pretty lucky to live so close to the beautiful beaches of North Carolina. And here is my wholehearted journey. So I first heard about the Enneagram about 4 years ago. I was visiting Charleston. I was visiting some of my friends in Charleston, South Carolina, and I laughed to myself because I would hear about the Enneagram in like a cool hip city. It had definitely not made its way down to my neck of the woods yet. Some of my first thoughts that I had whenever I read about the Enneagram and learned my type went a little bit like this. Holy cow, yes, that is how I feel. My husband has to be a 2. I love that I'm a 7. It is now my personal responsibility to tell every single person that I know and love about this amazing tool. So, ways that I learned more about the Enneagram was definitely Instagram. There's just so many amazing accounts on Instagram and just so much information there about the Enneagram. So, that's an amazing tool to use. And I also really loved going to YouTube, and I would watch Abby's videos. I think her last name is Howe, H-O-W-E. She has amazing content, especially for beginners, and some really fun videos to watch there. And I just remember it didn't take me very long to go on Google and type in the words, how to become an Enneagram coach, because I just remembered thinking, I want to learn everything that there is about this tool, to use it for myself and for my relationships, but also to teach it to other people. I definitely remember knowing my type right away. Like as soon as I read about a type 7, I was like, yes, that is so me. And I just remember feeling so understood so quickly. And, you know, sometimes I believe we really do wonder, like, does anybody see life the way that I do? Especially if you aren't surrounded by anybody that has the same type as you. And looking back on it, I really don't think I knew any sevens, or at least, you know, had close relationships with any sevens. And so it truly felt lonely for a long time, you know, in my young 20s. And there's just something so amazing about being given the vocabulary about why you think, feel, and behave. And it was just very freeing, and just a loneliness was lifted whenever I realized, you know, hey, this is how God made me. I first started thinking about working with an Enneagram coach when I became a coach myself. I'm definitely a firm believer that coaches need a coach. And, you know, I had also been in therapy for a while, and therapy was good, but I just remember, like, there was a certain part of me that just felt a little bit misunderstood by my therapist. And if you are if you're Enneagram 7, you're going to totally relate to that, as I said that, because we often feel misunderstood to a certain extent. And so you know, I finally decided to get a coach whenever I came across a podcast where Amy Wicks was being interviewed. And, you know, she has said that she was a seven. She just had the softest voice that just seemed so kind. And she was on this podcast that she was being interviewed on. I remember her talking about a situation that she had gone through years ago in her life. And it was the exact situation that I had been going through for a few years in my own life. And so immediately I was like, yes, I need her to coach me. You know, because I just felt like there was something that came in my mind that was like, she will understand me. She'll understand what I'm going through. She's a seven herself. And so, it's safe to say I quickly went to her Instagram and sent her a desperate DM asking her if she had any room in her schedule to coach me. A pivotal change that I experienced while being coached by Amy was just being so validated, so validated. I was going through a rough season in my life, and I was feeling pretty frozen and regarding a situation that was going on and really unable to move forward. In the first few sessions that Amy and I had together, I just got everything off of my chest, what was really going on. And Amy created such a beautiful, safe space for me to do that, unlike I had ever experienced before, honestly. And so I got all this out, and there was a moment that I'll never forget where Amy, and you know, like I said, she had been through a situation very similar years ago. And she looked at me and she was like, hey, I want you to know that, you know, I have made it on the other side of this, and you're going to too. You're going to make it on the other side of this. And right now your wound is very exposed and it's open, but one day it's going to scab over and it's going to hurt so much less. And oh, I'm telling you, there was just such healing that took place during that session. Some relational changes that I've experienced since working with Amy is, you know, after we had those sessions where I was really able to experience some freedom in my life over, you know, the situation that I was going through, I found it so much easier. It's like I then had the bandwidth to put into practice in my life and in my relationships everything I had learned about the Enneagram. It's almost like I didn't even have the room in my life to really put too much into practice because of the situation. And so once I experienced freedom in my life working with Amy, I then experienced freedom within my marriage. I felt like I finally had the bandwidth to really put into practice what I knew about the Enneagram and everything that I was learning with Amy. And it was just such a beautiful experience to put that into practice with my husband, John. And he, you know, quickly became just as much into the Enneagram and using this tool as I was. And he learned everything there is to know about my number and his number. And it was just a beautiful experience where we really both understood how different we saw the world. Twos and sevens are pretty different people. And we are just looking back on it now, we're just we're one unit now working together the way that God intended it. And there's just so much, there's less room now for misinterpretation and for offense. It's insane to think about like how offended we would get when we, you know, when we were dating and when we first got married. There was just so much offense because we just didn't understand, like, how could he do that? And I know he thought, how could she do this? And so that was a beautiful experience. And a surprising thing that I'll say about working with Amy is just how easy it was to talk to her. And as a seven, I don't necessarily find it fun or easy to just talk about things, deep things that I'm going through in life. And yeah, it was so easy to talk to her. She just held an amazing, beautiful space there for me. The way that I feel like it looks like to use the Enneagram for growth going forward is that, you know, the beautiful thing about the Enneagram is, you know, you take everything that you had to learn about it, and there's always going to be room for application. We are very imperfect humans, and we do life with imperfect humans, and so there is just always ways to grow. And, you know, we talk about the Enneagram having, it's like using it is kind of like, you know, you're driving on a road and it's like rumble strips. And so, we constantly go through seasons of stress. And so we constantly get to have ways to utilize the Enneagram to put us right back on the path that we're wanting to be on. And so there's just always ways to apply this wonderful tool in your life. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for Amy and for working with her and for stumbling upon that podcast that one day, and the day that she entered into my life. And so forever grateful for her and to be a part of the wonderful Wholehearted Collective and the Wholehearted Community.
Type 7 friend, this is Deanna Sudum. You are created by God to reflect His joy. Thank you for the lightheartedness, fun, and laughter that you can easily bring to spaces when you feel free and unlimited. I sense the Lord wants you to not just know that He takes care of you, but for you to lock in on these truths so they will be easily accessible when you have trouble believing what He says. I have 2 scriptures to reassure you that He takes care of your deepest needs and you can trust Him. In Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33 in the New Living Translation, it says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." And in Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13, in the same translation, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Father, thank you that these creative, forward-thinking idea generators can do all things through you, Lord. Thank you that you've given them a drive to take risks and adventures and relationships, even though it flies in the face of their desire to avoid the pain in life. We celebrate these seekers of pleasure in life and in the pursuit of these adventures. May they introduce many others to new experiences. Help them guard against overindulgence. Lord, help them to be present in their moments to bring some contentment in these spaces, and not only the constant desire for the next thing. Give them a deep appreciation for who is in front of them. Father, open their eyes to see the value of pouring into their closest people. Thank you for how you have created these Type 7s to be great encouragers. Lord, will you send Barnabas people in their lives to be able to speak encouragement in the spaces that they need? In their gift of hearing people and being a sounding board, will you give them great discernment, knowing when, if, and how to respond? Teach them how to breathe deeply and recognize if a feeling or trigger needs to be processed before it's reframed. Friends, you are taken care of by a God who created you, who knows every hair on your head and every thought before it is formed in you. May you receive the deepness of this intimacy in every fiber of your being. Father, help to channel their restless energy into worthwhile pursuits that will bring glory to your name. As it says in your word, godliness with contentment is great gain. I ask that you will bless them, Lord, and show them the excitement of a life spent with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woohoo! Amen, Deanna. Thank you so much. Now, wouldn't you agree that these stories, Wholehearted Stories and Deanna's prayers, were some of the best aspects of all the episode in this spring series? I know. I mean, most people kind of glossed over all that information that I shared and went straight to the stories and the prayers. But I am so grateful that I have gotten to share all of the bits and pieces with you. I truly hope that if you are 7 listening today, that you really feel celebrated, understood, and loved at every aspect of this episode. Now, if you happen to know a 7, I imagine that they would appreciate that you have taken the time to learn more about how they view the world. Would you share this episode with them and send a little message about how much you appreciate their lightheartedness and the joy that they add to your life? Of course, remind them that you love them for just being them. Now, next week is a big milestone and a celebration of this podcast. While we aren't going to do a super fancy episode, I have an amazing giveaway planned for the Wholehearted community because, well, I love giving gifts and it's so much to celebrate in that fashion. So next week, not only is it going to be the 300th episode and we'll be doing a lot of fun things, it'll also be the start of an exceptional summer series. You're going to be hearing lots of voices. In fact, all of the Wholehearted Collective voices represented in the next 5 weeks that we get to spend together. And then a little summer break before we come back with so much goodness to get ourselves ready for another school year. Yeah, I know you can plug your ears because, right? We're just beginning summer. So we're going to enjoy it to the fullest. So until then, continue to pursue God's perspective, purpose, and plans for your simply wholehearted life.